This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, maker and creator of this entire universe, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is, make the most of each day. My scripture is the 90th Psalms. My text is Psalms 90, 10, 11, and 12, which states, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalms 90 is supposed to have been penned as late as the captivity in Babylon. This, it is plain, was penned as early as the deliverance out of Egypt. This psalm was penned by Moses, the most ancient penman of sacred writings, and it is called a prayer. It is supposed that this psalm was penned upon occasion of the sentence passed upon Israel in the wilderness for their unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion, that their carcasses should fall in the wilderness, that they should be wasted away by a series of miseries for 38 years together, and the number that none of them that were then of age should enter Canaan. The story to which this psalm seems to refer is the 14th chapter of Numbers. Probably Moses penned this prayer to be daily used, either by the people in their tents, or at least by the priests in the tabernacle service during their tedious fatigue in the wilderness. Moses comforts himself and his people with the eternity of God and their interest in him. He humbles himself and his people with the consideration of the frailty of man. He submits himself and his people to the righteous sentence of God passed upon them. He commits himself and his people to God by prayer for divine mercy and grace and the return of God's favor. Though it seems to have been penned upon this particular occasion, yet it is very applicable to the frailty of human life in general, and we can easily apply it to the years of our passage through the wilderness of this world. In verse 1 of Psalms 90, God is introduced as both a refuge and the creator. The time of God is also brought into the picture. His time is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. In contrast, the frailty of man shows how he will be destroyed, given reference to inevitable death. The favor and protection of God are the only sure rest and comfort of the soul in this evil world. Christ Jesus is the refuge and dwelling place in which we may repair. We are dying creatures. All our comforts of the world are dying comforts. But God is an ever-living God, and believers find him so. When God, by sickness or other afflictions, turns men to destruction, he thereby calls men to return unto him, to repent of their sins, and live a new life. 1,000 years are nothing to God's eternity. Between a minute and a million of years, there is some proportion. Between time and eternity, there is none. All the events of 1,000 years, whether past or to come, are more present to the eternal mind than what was done in the last hour is to us. And in the resurrection, the body and soul shall both return and be united again. Time passes unobserved by us, as with men asleep, and when it is past, it is as nothing. It is a short and quickly passing life, as the waters of a flood. Man does but flourish as the grass, which, when the winter of old age comes, will wither, but he may be mown down by disease or disaster. Man's life is fleeting. In contrast to God's eternity, human life, even the longest imaginable, 1,000 years, is insignificantly brief, as expressed in the images of a watch in the night, a flood, a dream, and grass. The afflictions of the saints often come from God's love, but the rebukes of sinners and of believers for their sins must be seen coming from the displeasure of God. Secret sins are known to God and shall be reckoned for. See the folly of those who go about to cover their sins, for they cannot do so. Our years when gone can no more be recalled than the words that we have spoken. Verse 10 states, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 70 is the normal span of a human life. In the days that this expression was created, the span was considered to be 70 years. Many live fewer years due to violence, accident, and disease, and a few live longer. In any case, it is much briefer than 1,000 years, let alone God's eternity. Of the lives of the Israelites in the wilderness, all those that were numbered when they came out of Egypt, above 20 years old, were to die within 38 years. They numbered those only that were able to go forth to war, most of whom we may suppose were between 20 and 40, who therefore must have all died before 80 years old, and many before 60, and perhaps much sooner, which was far short of the years of the lives of their fathers. Before the time of Moses, it was usual for men to live about 100 years, or nearly 150. But since 70 or 80 is the common end, which few exceed and multitudes never come near, our whole life is toilsome and troublesome, and perhaps in the midst of the years we count upon, it is cut off. We are taught by all this to stand in awe. The angels that sin know the power of God's anger. Sinners in hell know it, but which of us can fully describe it? Few seriously consider it as they ought. Those who make a mock at sin and make light of Christ surely do not know the power of God's anger. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Verse 11 states, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. God's wrath to his unfaithful people is in accordance with the fear, reverence, faith, and humble holiness-seeking love that they ought to have toward him. The psalmist speaks of one afraid of God's anger and amazed at the greatness of the power of it, who knows how far the power of God's anger can reach and how deeply it can wound. Verse 12 states, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This refers especially to the ability to make the most of one's days, since they are so few. The heart of wisdom would enable the faithful to live by the right priorities, the fear of God. Instead of wasting our precious fleeting days in pursuing fancies, which leave the possessors forever poor, let us seek the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance in heaven. Let us pray that the work of the Holy Spirit may appear in converting our hearts, and that the beauty of holiness may be seen in our conduct. Lord, give us grace duly to consider how few our days are and how little a while we have to live in this world. The New York Times reports that college enrollment drops. Even as the pandemic effects ebb, a generation of students may be weighing the value of college versus its cost, questioning whether college is still the ticket to the middle class. We must live under a constant apprehension of the shortness and uncertainty of life and the near approach of death and eternity. We must so number our days as to compare our work with them and mind it accordingly with a double diligence as those that have no time to waste. Those that will learn this arithmetic must pray for divine instruction, must go to God and ask Him to teach them by His Spirit, to put them upon considering and to give them a good understanding. We then number our days to a good purpose when thereby our hearts are inclined and engaged to true wisdom. That is the practice of serious godliness. Because Jesus came to this earth, was nailed to the cross, and died for our sins, let us live each day in obedience to His word as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Christ Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is, will you trust God? Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust here implies confidence or security, and with all your heart means with all of your will, mind, and feelings. There will always be secrets of God that lie beyond our grasp. God knows everything, and we do not. Only in heaven will we understand God's way more fully. But based on what we do know about God's character, demonstrated supremely on the cross, we can trust that God is doing what is best for us. God says in His words, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In order to trust God completely, you need faith. Faith that God is real and listening. Faith that God loves you and wants to take care of you. Faith that He hears you when you cry out to Him. God is in control. Whatever comes in our lives, we can confidently say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Remember, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Yet, God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross between two thieves, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and arose early on the third day so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey His word, and lean not to your own understanding.
You have been listening to Ministers Barbara Coleman and David Michael, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope we said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.